The Raptors did the impossible last night and they closed out a game. We've got the latest. This is Hoop Talks. Welcome back, you guys. I'm Noor Zainab, next to Justin Pooney, Jelani Goodridge-Reed off to my side over there. And we're celebrating a Raptors win. They closed out a game leading throughout the entire way through.
Yep.
And they also scored 49 first quarter points, the most in franchise history. There was a second there, I think, at the beginning of the fourth where it looked like actually we might be going back into that little hurdle that the Raptors seem to not leave alone in the fourth quarter. But this is the first time I've seen them comfortably, properly close out a game 125-110 against Nikola Jokic's Nuggets. Guys, how are we feeling?
Great.
Right? Rarity, man. They closed it out in the fourth quarter. Yeah. I think that was the biggest thing because it was getting dicey. They, of course, dropped the franchise record 49 points, as you mentioned, in the first quarter. Had a 24-point lead. They have let that go all the way down to 6 points. And everybody's probably like, oh, here we go again. But to their credit, you know, they put up 27 points in the fourth quarter, held Denver to only 18 points. They actually showed up. Impressive win by the Toronto Raptors, being the best team in the West, who Coach Mike Malone agrees that they play no defense, but which was true. Yeah. But the Raptors took advantage of that, and, you know, they got a much-needed victory.
We'll get to that in a second. But Jelani, does this tell you that maybe we can keep a little bit of hope moving forward? Where's your head at?
A little bit of hope for sure. You know, you have to have that hope. I think for the top six, that's long gone, in my opinion. But I still think that if you're looking at that seventh, that eighth spot, it's still likely that there's a shot to maybe get that eighth. Maybe the seventh is a bit too far at this point. But I'm saying to myself, the Raptors could try to get an eighth. I think an eighth is the highest we could probably get. Washington did win yesterday. So the fact that we got one done was huge for us. And there is some separation that we see with the teams at 6 and 7 like that. But I think that moving forward, we have a few games coming up where the Raptors could get them done. I know OKC's balling as of late. I know that Minnesota is a playoff caliber team, but those teams, you could try to get those ones done. You're at home once again, right? So you never know. And then moving forward, you have Indiana, you have the Detroits, and then Washington again. So I do think it's possible. I loved what we saw last night, especially from that guy on the screen, Fred VanVleet.
Mr. Fred VanVleet, he was the kind of, he just did everything the other night. But I do want to mention something about him and what he's been, how he's been able to carry this team after coming back from injury, after coming back from his daughter's birth, family problems, all those things. I think him being that guy who can lead this team in those crucial moments, even when his shots aren't falling, you see his defensive effort, his facilitating, all those things. Yeah. But being that big contribution, helping the team get their first ever 49 per points in the first quarter, does this tell you that maybe the Raptors should try their hardest to keep Fred VanVleet in the offseason?
Yeah, because he's such a piece. He's such a big piece to this puzzle. To me, he's the backbone of the Toronto Raptors. I know that Pascal Siakam might be the guy that people consider to be the best on the team, but the heart and soul of the Raptors is Fred VanVleet. Mm-hmm. So, again, he wants a high price, right? That 35-plus million. So, and you might want to give it to him just because of how he's come up on this team and where he's come from, you know, from Wichita State and being undrafted. And he's paid his dues, and I think he deserves a big deal. I do. Even though at times, you know, there might be questions to whether or not he is, you know, a championship caliber point guard and things of that nature, I still like Fred VanVleet. I would pay him personally. But again, we talked about it in the last show. When you play against these teams like the Denvers, you know, like these top teams in the West, the top teams in the East, you want your guys to step up. And Pascal's not always going to score, right? And we're seeing right now he's in a stretch where he's struggling. So who's going to step up? Who's going to be that other dude? That's Fred VanVleet. And so that's why I was very impressed with him. Moving forward, we're going to need him. We're going to need
absolutely
him every time in the playoffs when the Raptors do make the playoffs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. When they Fred do, is such, if they do.
No, I'm saying like in the past. Okay, like he's been an important piece, right? So moving forward, if you want to be a playoff team, you're going to need Fred VanVleet.
They definitely... You need a guy that can put the ball in the basket, and Fred VanVleet can put the ball in the basket. Again, he's been very inconsistent this year, been up and down, but nights like that show you why he was an all-star caliber point guard, why he is a guy who, like you mentioned, he is the heart and soul of the Toronto Raptors. And I don't think that's Pascal Siakam might be the best player, but we know this is Fred VanVleet's team. This is his city. This is his franchise. It was very 36 and 7,
yeah.
Right? 8 3-pointers. Now, I'm not expecting that to go forward, but if Fred can continue to put up, you know, any from 20 points a game to 6 assists a game, that he gets that consistently and plays and is a leader. I saw this one moment before I went to, while I was watching the game. It was one of the, you know, he dumped off to Scotty in the middle, and Scotty went up for the finish, and he was talking to Scotty as they're cutting to commercial, going back to the bench. And I thought that was a true sign of leadership, you know, trying to coach up the young guy, to give him words of encouragement. That is what the Raptors need from Fred VanVleet as well, to be that leader.
To me, he's always also been the kind of guy who's like, I'm like, if he gets traded, he's going to be a Raptor killer. He's going to, not just a Raptor killer, he's going to have nights where I look at the box sheet or Bleacher Report has like his 10 highlights put together. I'm going to be like, that's what we left. That's what we missed out on. And even if he's not contributing the way that we want him to, let's look at the team. The team's not doing anything well right now either. So we can't expect individual performances to carry people over. But Fred's doing that. Now, good stuff aside, I do have to bring up this one little thing here.
Uh-oh.
We know the Raptors had, they almost kind of pretty much got the win their first time with the Denver Nuggets in Denver, Colorado. This time, I was watching the game. We had the 49 points in the first quarter. Very happy, very happy. But I was holding my breath still throughout the entire game. Still, that fourth quarter came. We were down by 5 points. I looked at that and I was like, this is the team that I know. This is that 49 points was not the team that I know, but this is the team that I know. And the Denver Nuggets, on the other hand, they've lost their 3 straight games of the past that they played, right? So they played against the Bulls, they lost that. They played against the Spurs, they lost that. And they played against the Brooklyn Nets. Now this is their 4th loss in a row. Does this loss say more about the Raptors turning their stuff around or the Nuggets struggling?
I think
right
the Nuggets, the Nuggets struggling, are in a slump, right? I think so.
The thing with the Nuggets is like they're just not playing defense. And Mike Malone is clearly upset. We saw in his post game comments and stuff like that. But, you know, full marks to the Raptors. You can't, as much as Denver's struggling, the Raptors need to play well, and they played well, and they won, right? Yeah. But Denver, again, they're kind of locked in that first seed. They're going through this lull in the season where they kind of have, you know, the first seed locked up, so they have nothing really to play for.
I think it was more like the Raptors definitely playing for something. They need to win these games. And Denver, their offense also wasn't shooting well from downtown.
They might even 24%. Just be getting themselves ready for a playoff matchup. That, you know, they're like, you know what? I don't like that first seed. I want the second one. I want that guy over there. It's because I think they match up better there. The Raptors, for the first time, like we said, got themselves a secure win. We're happy. We're lucky. But they have a homestand coming up against the Thunder, the Timberwolves. And then they go on to play in Milwaukee, taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll talk about that next. So we've established the Raptors seem to be getting their stuff together, at least against the Denver Nuggets. But unfortunately for them, they do have some games remaining. The next one up is going to be the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mr. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is coming home to Toronto. And let's see if the Raptors can do something to limit this guy. He's actually in conversations right now to be MIP. He's averaging 33 points on the season currently. Pretty much taking this team on his back, doing what he needs to do. Tomorrow night, the Raptors take on the Thunder at home. Is this something the Raptors can take on?
Yeah, I mean, they should. They're at home. They're probably going to be favorites. According to ESPN, they have a 71% chance to win.
I like that.
Raptor fans, ESPN actually doesn't hate you. They believe you're going to win. But it's going to be a tall order. Look, Shai's going to be playing at home. He's averaging 31 points a game. Josh Giddey's been playing a lot better of late. Lu Dort, you know, a good defensive player. Jalen Williams has kind of vaulted himself into Rookie of the Year conversation. It's going to be a tall order because they're playing some really good basketball right now. I think they've won 4 of their last 5 games, Oklahoma City. But this is the game the Raptors can and should win, and they need to win if they want to keep this trek going forward. But again, you got to guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
You can't guard him. You can't guard Shai. By the way, he is, in my opinion, a future Toronto Raptor.
Delusional.
He's
okay.
He's
he
coming.
Is a
delusional.
Future
he's
Toronto
coming.
2027. Find me. Anyway, I think that this is going to be a very important game, right? This might be one of those games that will make or break where we end up in that play-in spot. So OKC's balling right now, right? They're playing really well. I'm actually proud of them. They're a really young team, but they've been making some moves. They've been making some noise, right? Unexpected noise, to be honest. So right now you're going to look at Shai, of course, and how we could score, how we could hurt your defense anytime in the game. But I'm looking at a guy like Josh Giddey. I think Giddey is the X factor for sure. And Williams, too. I think those two guys, if they show up, it's going to be a long night. Right. So you're going to want to limit one of those guys because more likely than not, Giddy's going to do, you know, make his presence felt. Mm-hmm. So maybe a guy like Williams, who's been feeling himself lately, he's been playing really, really well. Probably you need the Raptors to show up and limit him. Another thing I'm looking at in this matchup is the pace of the game, mm-hmm. right? How is the pace going to look? The Raptors are 25th in terms of pace. So the Thunder are a really quick team. Mm-hmm. How are the matchups going to work in favor of the Raptors, right? And a guy that I'm looking at specifically in this game, Scottie Barnes, right? Scottie, he's been playing pretty well as of late. He's been not only scoring, like he'll give you your 18, 20 points per game, but he's also making sure that he gets guys involved. Mm-hmm. The assists are there. We saw that last night. And we're also seeing the fact that he can rebound the basketball, gets himself at the rim, right? He's attacking the boards. I really liked what happened last night against
Denver. He was aggressive. And that's what we want to see.
He gets his own rebounds. That's what I love to see. I love to see a guy who's like, you know what, this ball might not go in.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with that. I'm gonna go get my rebound and get the put back in afterwards. So seeing that level of intensity, that's why I'm just like, I guess we get frustrated because you're like, I know you'll do this in the fourth quarter, but you can do this in the first, second,
yeah, like
and
attack
third.
The boards and even kick it out. He kicks it out, finds an open man like OG or Fred from outside. So I like that. I think Scottie's gonna make his presence felt too.
He has to, yeah. He's got a matchup advantage too. Like there's nobody really in the front court of Oklahoma City that can kind of, you know, stop the Raptors front court. So I'm intrigued to see how Pascal, can he finally bounce back and get back to 20 plus points, right? That's going to be a big factor. I need to see him get back to scoring the basketball at that consistent clip around that 22 to 24 points a game if they want to be successful. And I want to see what Scottie can do. Can he continue playing aggressive?
Yeah, after the All-Star game, for sure. I think Pascal just hasn't been the guy that we know him to be. And hopefully this is kind of the stretch where he starts that. But if not against the Thunder, the Wolves are right afterwards. Anthony Edwards is unfortunately looking like the guy that we thought he would be. How
superstar.
Can the Raptors make sure that they limit guys like Karl-Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, and now also Anthony Edwards? Because this team has height that can kind of toughen up and mess around with the Raptors.
Well, look what Ant's doing, man. Ant is playing, averaging 25 points a game, but he's also taking on the best defensive assignment as well.
Yeah.
Ant is a throwback player. He's from that era where, you know, I'll give you 25, but then I'll also lock down your best player. That he's playing at an unbelievable rate right now. I'm really impressed what I see with Anthony Edwards. He could actually make all NBA this year from the guard position. I would not be surprised, especially now with Ja missing time. I could definitely see a guy like Ant slide into that. Again, the Raptors are going up against guys in the next couple games that can score at a high clip, but also defend. Nobody really on OKC, but I'm also talking about, you know, Rudy Gobert, Anthony Edwards, and then of course you got Giannis and Drew Holiday after that. It's going to be interesting to see how the Raptors can go up against teams that are playing elite level defense and it can give you the work on the opposite side of the court as well.
Yeah, no, for that game, I'm looking at the pick and roll. I think that's going to be the important factor. How does that pick and roll with Fred and Jakob work? It's been working, all right? Mm-hmm. Since we've gotten Jakob Poeltl, it's been working at a high clip. You're talking about Jakob, even last night, the way he played was really impressive to me. He had like plus 30. He was a plus 30 guy. So he's definitely what we needed. The Raptors needed a guy, an anchor inside that could help us offensively, help our, you know, the tone offensively. And then defensively, he's obviously made his presence felt. And he says no. Whenever you enter the paint, he says no. Mm-hmm. Right? So with Minnesota, they can be physical. So I think the Raptors are going to have to outmatch them in that area. Anthony Edwards is going to be a tough cover, of course. This is going to be a lot to handle. My question is a guy like OG going to step up? And he has been as of late. He's been playing really well on the offense, right? He's been giving you 20-plus. But remember, just like the Anthony Edwards point, he covers the best guy on the other side.
I think they can kind of, him and Gary can swap roles that game. Just he can focus on the defense. Gary can perhaps maybe give us more shooting than we've seen from him before. Mm-hmm. But I like your point about Poeltl, because I think the way that Poeltl has played, it's not just his offensive game, his defense, but he's also facilitating. He's passing. And that's going to help you against the third game of the week, the Milwaukee Bucks. Greek Freak. He's back. Middleton's there. Drew Holiday's there. Can the Raptors take this in Milwaukee against the Greek Freak?
No.
Let me finish the question.
The Bucks are the best team in basketball right now. No chance.
My finals pick, my guy Giannis Antetokounmpo. They are the first team to clinch a playoff spot. By the way, 50 plus wins. It's gonna be a lot. It's gonna be a lot for the Raptors. It's all hands on deck. Everyone has to be there, and I think the shooting is gonna have to show up. Last night from downtown, we were 40% shooting. So if you can get something like that, that could help you against a Milwaukee group that hurts a lot of teams.
Obviously. And it helps when you have assists. If you look at this team, there's three guys that can really pass the ball. Actually, I would say even four. You got Scotty, Fred, you have Pascal, and you have Pirtle. Pirtle's a great paint passer. He has a great vision for that. So if the offense is ever sticky, I want to see the Raptors use that, utilize that
have
more,
ball
you know?
Movement.
Absolutely. Yeah, just make plays. You can draw plays.
And
you're allowed
working.
To.
It was working. We attacked the paint against Denver. They couldn't handle it.
The team's very Jekyll and Hyde, though. Jekyll and Hyde team. The Raptors
and you can
are.
Run PNR with Jakob with anybody. It can be Scotty. Mm-hmm. It could be Freddie. It could be Pascal. It could be literally anybody. So the Raptors have their work cut out for them this week. We won't be back this week. That's why we covered the next three games. But on Monday, we'll see if the Raptors can get the task done, get the job done, and what their future looks like. Stay tuned for Damian Lillard up next. Welcome back to Hoop Talks, you guys. Thank you for sticking around for the Raptors mania bit. But for this segment, we're going to focus on the latest news coming out of JJ Redick's podcast. I feel like anytime he has someone on, there's always some highlights being made, some discourse happening. And this time, this is about Damian Lillard. He was asked about his views when it comes to NBA, ring culture, sports teams, and this is what he had to say.
While I understand we play to win championships, we all want to win a championship. We can't keep acting like nothing matters, like the rest of the stuff, the journey doesn't matter. We can't keep doing that. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like there are so many ways that the league is different. There's so many ways, and I think about it all the time where I'm like, man, I don't know if I can just play a long, long time because I don't enjoy what the NBA as a whole is becoming.
I like a lot of what Damian Lillard had to say because I think it just put things into perspective for basketball fans and athletes who aren't playing basketball to get them a look inside an athlete's head of what he thinks about when it comes to ring culture and super teams and what having a ring says to you and your accolades and what that means for you as a player. So did you agree with what he had to say?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I'm a firm believer back when I was a kid and you started learning about watching basketball, it was more so all about, you know, Kobe had the Lakers, LeBron had the Cavs, Carmelo had the Nuggets, right? Detroit had a cast of guys, right? But like, there was no like super team.
Dirk Mavericks.
Right? Dirk had the Mavericks, right? Ron Artest had the Sacramento Kings for a minute, right?
Jeez.
But like I said, like, I agree with what Dame said because everybody gets so focused on wins and losses and a ring, a championship. Basically, if you don't get a championship, you're not validated, you're nothing, you're a nobody. But the process of it, right? Think about where Dame came from Oakland, Weber State, gets drafted, rookie of the year, and working his way up in Portland with CJ, and then CJ leaves, and now they're kind of in a flux in Portland. But this guy's still next to Steph Curry. If Steph Curry didn't come around, he might have been the best guard of this generation. Right. In that conversation. And I think Dame previously said about this on another podcast that people put disrespect on like a guy like Charles Barkley because he didn't win a championship. But he's still Charles Barkley, one of the 50 greatest players who ever played this game, one of the icons of the game. But they think less of him because he didn't win a ring. Basketball is a team sport. I know there's a whole lot of individualism in basketball, but it's at the end of the day a team sport.
Yep.
And sometimes where you're situated, where you're located, you can't have the best team. And Damian Lillard, whether he wins a ring or not, and I sure as hell hope he does win one in Portland.
Hope so too.
I would love it. It doesn't take away from the fact that he's one of the giants of this. He's a top 75 player of all time, right?
Right. I think you guys know me and my Dame agenda, yeah. Right? He's one of my favorite players ever. And I feel like the discourse around him and some players currently that haven't won, like Russell Westbrook and things of that nature, it's been pretty bad because, yeah, they just go to the ring culture, right? You don't have one. And if you don't have one, you're not one of the best of all time, right? And we see this with other players. You talked about Barkley, of course, but there's Reggie Miller. There's guys like Ewing, right?
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul. We can name a whole list, right? And we do see that they are celebrated, but at times they are knocked for not winning. That okay, it goes hand in hand because that is fair, right? You didn't win a championship, right? And you can't be with the guys that did, right? But at the same time, I don't think we should be diminishing guys for not winning. Yeah. And I feel like the NBA now with the player movement has changed a lot of the discourse, because even in the show, they were talking about how there's so much pressure to win now, right? There's so much pressure that no one cares about the regular season anymore. Nope. That's another thing. It's only about the playoffs. Even the teams and the players, they more so care about the playoffs. But now it's like, okay, you want a guy to win, right? But if he goes, leaves, Kevin Durant.
The goalpost moves. The criteria changes.
You know, the criteria changes, and then you're like, well, you won with them. You know what I mean? So the value changes. I just feel, though, just going back to the point on Dame, though, I feel like he should be respected. I feel like guys that haven't won but are all time should be more respected, because I find that the talk about, you know, rings and stuff, it's so toxic. It's so if you compare it to other leagues, NFL, NHL, MLB, there's no league or you know, discourse that's so toxic like this. And I get it. The sport, there's less guys on a team, right? And so dependent on superstars, I understand that. But same way,
but you'll even see, like, when teams win a championship, you hear so much about asterisks and things that happen and players that went down. So even the teams that do win something end up having to answer questions to fan bases and people out there who are like, well, maybe it wasn't fair, or maybe this guy went down.
Look at the Raptors
title. We know
it's
right here.
People say that all the time.
Example exhibit number one right here. Right? Exactly. Like that's what gets brought up constantly. And I really like what Dame had to say, because I think it also matters about your perspective and what you want out of your life. If he's not concerned about rings, how can we make him concerned about rings? He doesn't care. He made the NBA. He's giving his family generational wealth. He's being one of the best players that we've seen him be. He's one of the most clutch players there are. He's Portland Trailblazers franchise icon. And having a guy like that who's secure with himself, who's okay with being where he is, no one can really change his mind.
And I like the fact that he's loyal. I'm a guy that likes loyal players, and
I would love him for not to be loyal, because I want him on my team. But I want him to win
so bad, because he's my favorite player along with Steph Curry. But the thing is that, you know, I like the fact that he wants to get it done in Portland. And we saw this a few years ago. Remember Giannis? Everyone wanted him to go to Miami. Everyone wanted him to join Toronto. The Lakers and stuff like that. Toronto, I did have my agenda, but whatever. But I think it was better for the league. I think it was better for the league that he stayed in Milwaukee.
And that opened up the discourse that, hey, I can stick where I'm at and win a title because it means more, right?
So how should we weigh championships in relation to an athlete's overall success in his tenure in the NBA?
I mean, it's
I know you have to
kind of
take him into account.
Because Dame even said, like, you play, obviously I play to win championships. That's what you do for. Yeah. But that doesn't. Look, championships is what everybody aspires to get. But there's only one champion every year, right? There's only a select few amount of players that ever played in the NBA, and even a small group that are actually NBA champions, right? Championships mean a lot, but it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't affect the process. It doesn't change the discourse on the process. So I think the process on how they became great takes the most weight, but also championships do weigh something because you want to play the biggest.
No, we love loyalty here. I'll take loyalty any day. I would have liked Kawhi to be loyal. I would also like Jay to be loyal to his country.
That's right.
And come back
he plays
here
for Canada.
At one point.
He plays for Team Canada.
It's fine, but Toronto's also there too. It's an NBA part there as well. There's a bunch of country.
Canada,
so if anybody wants someone to be loyal, it's going to be me, Touche, to Canada. Mm-hmm. But we take him on tomorrow night in Toronto. We'll see if the Raptors can duplicate what they did against the Nuggets. When it comes to the Thunder, after that, they've got the Wolves, and then they fly over to Milwaukee to take on the Greek Freak, one of the best teams in the NBA right now. The Raptors, all eyes on you. We're waiting. We're seeing what happens, because the next few games will decide where they end up in the playoff race, or maybe the play-in. We'll see you guys next time.